Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader Podcast. On today's episode, I am going to be sharing my favorites from the month of March. Or I'm sorry, February. I know that it seems kind of early to be talking about my favorites from February because we're kind of only halfway through. But with the way the days of the month kind of play out this year, I wanted to make sure that I could get my March goals in before March actually started. So anyways, today I'm talking about my February favorites, and then next week I'll be talking about my March goals. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader Podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio, with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. All right, so I'll be honest with you, I was kind of struggling to think of things to talk about today, just because, again, it is February and it's still pretty darn cold out. Our February has been weird. I know that it's been kind of strange all over the place. Like, we had some days in February that were like almost 60, but then this past weekend, we got about 3 inches of snow. That should be expected here, though, really in Ohio and in all of the Midwest, that temperatures are going to fluctuate. But anyways, it's been a weird February, and I've gotten a lot done outside, but then now I've been forced to do things inside. And so some of the tools that I have to talk about today have to do with the garden. Some of them are just things that have made my life easier. I have a couple like skincare kind of girly items to talk about, and then another one that is just about the home. So lots of tools to talk about today, and two of them are literally like tools from the tool section at Home Depot. So we are Ryobi power tool users. It's been that way ever since my husband got a set, gosh, probably like 10 years ago when we were renovating our first home. And we just like the brand. We have a lot of Ryobi tools and we've collected a ton over the year. We think they work well. And there's only been a few things that we have been just a little underwhelmed with, like our backpack blower. That is something that we are going to be searching for maybe this next fall season. But anyways, Ryobi in general, we have been very, very happy with. And so I have added 2 new battery-operated tools to my collection specifically. we have a lot, like I said. In terms of yard work, I love my battery-operated string trimmer. When we're cutting our grass, my husband, he'll be mowing, and then I will be doing all of the trimming. We do have a decent amount of trimming to do and edging, and so I love that string trimmer. Now, that is not the item that I want to talk about today, though. The 2 things that I want to talk about today are their battery-operated tiller. Yes, I know that sounds crazy. And then also the battery-operated tire inflator. So I'm going to talk about the tire inflator first, just because this is probably the least like remotely applicable to homesteading. But then again, it kind of is, because like, if you have a tractor or a wheelbarrow or a car, like most homesteaders do, have cars and wheelbarrows, you have tires to inflate. And we have had an air compressor for a while. It's not a nice air compressor, but it, you know, works well enough. And it's what I would use to fill my tires if needed. But honestly, this thing, it's gotten so old, and it's probably just the head on it, like the connector that needs replaced. But anyways, it was a pain in the butt for me to fill my tires on my car. And especially if you've used an air compressor before, you know that when it is filling with air, you can't hear anything. And so you can't tell if you are getting that valve onto your car tires correctly. It's very hard to tell if you are filling or if you are deflating. So I was having a lot of trouble filling my car tires. And during winter, they happen to go down quite often. And anyways, I was just getting very frustrated. So it came to my attention that Ryobi has a battery-powered tire inflator. I know that this sounds very unexciting, because it really isn't. But until you use it and you see how easy it is to fill up your tires, you will be so ecstatic. So the way this thing works is you attach your battery to the little inflator, and I picked this up at my Home Depot. I think it was like 30 or 40 bucks. And all you do is you attach the nozzle to the stem of your tire, and you turn it on. You set the exact PSI that you want your tire to be filled to, and then you press go, and it fills up your tire and shuts off when it needs to. I swear, I know that this tool sounds like stupidly simple, but that's the beauty of it. I am in love with this thing. Now, I haven't used it to fill up any other tires other than my car, but I know that it would be great for our wheelbarrow. It would be great for bike tires. It even has a stem so you could fill up a ball if you wanted to. I don't know if it would work on our tractor, and the only reason I'm not sure of that is because we have our tractor tires partially full of antifreeze. That way we can add some more weight to our tires. So that's the only reason I'm not sure. The front tires of it, yes, it probably would fill. But I am just blown away by the power of this thing. Like, it seriously is wonderful. Now, this leads me to the next battery-operated tool that I want to talk about. And that is the battery-powered tiller that Ryobi makes. So most of the tools that we have used and that we have purchased are just kind of normal, quote unquote, batteries. They have like 1.5 to 2 amp hours, and so they are smaller batteries. So some of Ryobi tools, they use much bigger batteries that are like 4 amp hours or higher. I just know the name of that. I don't really know what it means, but that's all I know. And so I'm saying it. Some of their tools need higher battery power. And so this tiller came with a 4 amp hour battery. So again, this is a bigger battery, but it works with the regular charging stations of all the other Ryobi batteries, which is why I thought, okay, let's give this thing a try. So apparently Ryobi makes a backpack blower that will use that higher power battery. They also make a chainsaw that uses that higher powered battery, and they make this tiller. So in the future, who knows, we might end up buying or doing at least the research on that backpack blower, because we currently have the gas powered Ryobi backpack blower. And as I said earlier, it works well, but it has the same failure points, and we have gone through two of them now, and it's just a simple thing that the string keeps breaking, like the pull string on it, because it's a two-cycle engine. So anyways, that pull string keeps breaking, and so ours is probably on its way out. And so anyways, getting this tiller is kind of like our intro to the more like high-tech and higher capacity Ryobi battery tools. Okay, so anyways, back to the tire inflator. I will say that if you use the normal quote-unquote batteries with a tire inflator, it will fill up your tires. It just goes kind of slow. Now, for me, that's not really an issue because it's completely hands-off. I don't have to crouch down there at my tire. All I have to do is just hit the button and I can let it fill. So it's not a big deal. But I do use my bigger battery just because I have it. So why not? So that is the battery that I use with a tire inflator. And I'll be putting links to these things in the show notes. So that Ryobi tire inflator, I bought it just locally at Home Depot because it was right there. And then the battery tiller, I did buy off Amazon because that was the best price for it at that time. The tiller. I was very skeptical of it, I'll be honest with you. But our hand tiller, it was an old hand-me-down from my husband's grandparents, and it would piss us off more than it would make us happy. And it got to the point where it was just like beyond repair, or it just really wasn't worth our time to try to fix it. So that is why I decided to make the investment and get this battery-powered tiller with this 4 amp-hour battery. So again, I was kind of skeptical, but the videos seemed like it would do what I needed it to do in my garden space. Now, if you were tilling up like a brand new spot to put a garden, I don't think this would do the job. I would probably still want my husband to take the tiller of our tractor and do it for real. But for working in my raised beds and in my in-ground beds that had already been worked, I thought that it would be a good fit. And it is. I have used it twice so far. And well, okay, I guess I take that back. I've used it 3 times so far. And it is awesome. Now, just like any other tiller, the moisture content of your soil is going to be very, very important. If you try to use it when it's too muddy, it will gum up and it won't work. But that's just how any tiller is, okay? So, other than that, that's the only flaw that I have experienced so far. So, again, I said that I've used it 3 times. That first time, it was just an experiment because I was just excited to use it, and the soil was too wet. I just wanted to try it though, and so I tried it in a few spots and it got full of mud, but that's again how any tiller would have been in that situation. So I put it away. I at least knew that it had good power, and that 4 amp-hour battery seemed like it was going to do the trick. So after, I don't know, a few weeks of the ground drying out, I was ready to start prepping my raised beds. And to help dry out my soil, my process here was I took a shovel and I kind of dug into my beds and just lifted up the soil to get some more gaps and holes in my raised beds to let air flow through. So when I did that, I waited a few days and then decided to use my tiller. And it was wonderful, honestly. I mean, it did the job. It broke everything up very well. I did use it on its lowest speed, but that was honestly just so I wouldn't make as much of a mess because if I used it on the higher speed, it would go pretty crazy and flip up a lot of dirt, which is good. That means it was doing what it's supposed to do, but I just didn't want to make that much of a mess. The amazing thing to me is that I was able to use that big 4 amp-hour battery, and I was able to do both of my raised beds on one battery, and that each one is 4 by 12. And I have 2 of those. So I did all of that space on one battery, which is mind-blowing. Now, my soil wasn't like super, super dry and the perfect consistency. It was still a little bit wet. So every now and then, I would have to take off the blades and just kind of get the gunk out of there. But the other thing that I was doing too is I was tilling up like old greens and old parsley and just stuff that had died off during winter. And so I was probably chopping up things that I probably shouldn't have been. But the good thing though about the tiller is that it is easy, like super easy, to take the blades off. All you have to do is just pull off like the quick connect or the quick disconnect hook, and you just pull the plates apart. I was wearing gloves to protect my nails, of course. But you just pull those plates apart, get the dirt out, and then put it back together and keep going. Like it really is not hard. Now, the third time I used it was the most recent, and that was last week before we got all of this snow. And we were having wonderful weather for February. It was very sunny. We were getting into like the mid to high 50s, and the soil of my in-ground raised beds dried out to the perfect consistency. My husband, he dug up the soil, did that same kind of method that I did in my raised beds. He did that. And then a couple days later, after all of that wonderful sun, the soil had dried up enough that I could till. And that tiller did not get clogged up at all. It was a breeze. And I was able to do all of my in-ground beds without one battery. So, like, again, I am just shocked at the power that this thing has. And again, I did use it on the slower setting, but that was truly just so I wouldn't make as much of a mess. So this battery-powered tiller for my Ryobi, I am so impressed with. And it gives me faith that maybe that backpack blower will be in our future this coming fall. Who knows? So again, I'm going to put those two things in the show notes. And yeah, I just highly, highly recommend both of them. The next tool that I want to talk about goes into the girly realm. And this is another bigger investment sort of a thing. So yeah, I guess I should say that every single thing I'm talking about today, minus the skincare item, they're kind of bigger investments. But we, ever since we started, not even homesteading, but like ever since we moved to this house, we discovered that your life is going to be so much easier if you have the right tools. And if you have a lot of space, a lot of land to maintain, you're going to need tools. It's just going to make your life so much easier and save you so much time. Now, not everything that you buy has to be brand new, but tools, like do your research, get tools, because again, they will make your life so much easier. So anyways, a lot of these things, they're investments that I'm talking about today. And so back to the third thing that I want to talk about, and that is my new at-home laser hair removal device. So about 8 years ago or so, I got laser hair removal on my bikini area. I got this before our honeymoon, and it was fantastic. It hurt. It was expensive, but it was a great investment. I have dark hair, and so that bikini area, you know, it can be a little bit embarrassing sometimes. Even after shaving, it's just like you can still see the hair there. So anyways, I have had laser hair removal, like legit laser hair removal done. And I know how wonderful it is if you have dark hair. Is it a process? Yes. Is it expensive? Yes. Does it last forever? No, but it does last a really long time. Probably within the past year or two is when I have had just a few hairs come back that I would just pluck. But, and so that's how I would, you know, maintain the laser hair removal that I again had done like 8 years ago, eight, nine almost years ago now. So one day I was at work, I was with one of my clients, and she also has dark hair like me. And we somehow got on the topic of the laser hair removal device that she was using, and it is by Braun. And so I thought about it for a couple months. This thing is about $300. And she was having great results with it. And she also found out about it through some of her friends online who were having great success with it too. And so because of all of this, like, you know, all of the good stories that I had heard about it, and because I know how much true laser hair removal is, I thought, you know what, I'm going to try it, because I am one of those people, I hate shaving. I absolutely hate it. Like during winter, I shave as little as possible, just because it is so annoying to me. And I also, like, I know that some people like are obsessed with the feeling of getting in the sheets, like after freshly shaved legs. And I mean, like, I get it, it's nice, but like, it's not that magical to me. Like there's many other things that I would rather do than shave my legs. So anyways, I don't like shaving my legs. And I thought, okay, if I get this device and I can do it once a week and then only have to touch up every now and then, I was pretty darn sold. So I bought it and I have been using it since mid-January. So it's been about a month now. Well, maybe it was like the second week of January. Anyways, I've done about 6 treatments on my legs. And so the way that this thing works is you will shave your legs, and then about 24 hours after, you can do the laser treatment. And you're supposed to do this once a week for the first 6 to 12 weeks until you are happy with the results. And then after that, you will do a touch-up once a month. Okay, so I have done 6 treatments on my legs, and I am blown away by how effective it is. Again, this is coming from someone who has had legitimate in-office laser hair removal. Now, obviously, I don't remember exactly how fast it worked back then, but I know that I had to do at least 6 treatments. I am absolutely shocked. I did a treatment yesterday as of the day of this recording, and I will say that for the past 2 times, I have not had to shave my legs because my hair just isn't coming back in. And I am blown away. I absolutely love this thing. I am telling all of my in-person clients, like all of them, because I am just flabbergasted because of just how well it works. Now, obviously, it is a laser. It's not like it tickles. It does hurt, okay? It does. Now, the nice thing about this device, though, is that it comes with 3 different settings, and so you can choose how hard you want it to zap you. There's the full strength setting, and that's what I have been using on my legs the entire time, and so that's why my legs are showing the most improvement. And then there's like a medium setting, and then also a very delicate setting. So I have been using this on my bikini area, on my armpits, and on my legs, and also my upper lip. So my legs, I have been doing the highest setting for 6 weeks, and as I said, I haven't had to shave in like 3. Now, there are some areas where I just tend to miss, and so I have had to use a razor and just get those few hairs that I miss, and then I just make sure to zap them really good. So I've had to do that for the past 2 treatments, but that's really not a big deal. For my armpits, I have done that for also 6 weeks as well, and honestly, I like forget that I have hair under there. Now, under my armpits, I definitely can't use the full strength setting because it hurts. The first time I used, I think, the most gentle setting, and then I kind of graduated to the medium setting. On my upper lip, I have been doing the most gentle setting, and I'm still kind of not sure if it's really getting rid of the hairs completely. With laser hair removal, you need to have like a high contrast between your hair color and your skin. So unfortunately, this will not work for someone who has very, very light hair. Now, on my upper lip, I am fortunate enough where I do have hair there, but they're not like super dark. So honestly, I'm not sure if the laser is just singeing them off or if it is actually like killing the root of the follicle. I'm not really sure, but it's really fast. In my opinion, it's less painful than like threading my upper lip because that's how I do my eyebrows and I've gotten used to it there, but upper lip, man, that hurts like a, you know what. So honestly, doing the laser there with the gentlest setting, I think it's less painful, and so I just keep doing that. And then the last place is the bikini area. I wasn't brave enough to start there right at the beginning when I started using the device. So I've probably done only 3 treatments on my bikini area, and it is definitely showing improvement. But I just know that it is going to be a slower process because all I can tolerate down there is the gentlest setting. So if you have a high pain tolerance, you'll be able to get great results much faster. If you have a lesser pain tolerance, depending on the area, it might just take some more time. But again, the device, the instructions say that it will take anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks to get the results that you want. So the fact that by now, 6 treatments in on my legs, I am already not having to shave, that is absolutely mind-blowing to me. And it truly is a big time savings, I think, or like it will be, I guess you can say, because I don't know about you, but like, I hate shaving my legs in the shower. I just hate it. It's uncomfortable. I hate dealing with the shaving cream and the water dripping down your legs. It's just a pain in the butt. This, yes, it does take longer to do this just once a week, because I can probably do both of my legs from the knee down in about 20 to 25 minutes. But I have to do that just once a week. And in theory, I'm going to have to do it only once a month eventually. So to me, it is just like a no-brainer. So if you have the money to make that investment and you don't want to have to shave your legs anymore, I highly recommend it. And so I will be putting a link in the show notes to that as well. So those are the big tools that I wanted to talk about today. And then after the break, I have 2 smaller things that I will talk about too. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grow and Flourish Planner, the garden and homestead planner I developed that goes beyond the farm because it helps you set goals and discover which facets of your homestead life need the most attention and which facets deserve celebrating. In this second edition of my planner, you get over 225 color-coded and seasonal pages of planning, documentation, and introspection. It starts out with a yearly overview, including the Grow and Flourish assessment, that helps you prioritize areas of your life, like relationships, homestead production, work, health, and more. The planner is then divided and color-coded into the four seasons, with each season having a check-in assessment, a space to consolidate notes from last year, map the garden, plan your plantings, track your seed starting, track soil health and amendments, write down seasonal meals, inventory your seeds, summarize the season, and more. Each season is then broken down into months with summary pages, daily rhythms, weekly planning, day-by-day tracking, harvest tracking, and egg production pages. Each section of the planner is tabbed to keep you organized, and it includes a rip-proof and waterproof cover to keep your dreams and records safe. The planner is also designed for the disc binding system, which allows the planner to grow with you. Whether you want to see only one season at a time, all the seasons together, or even keep last year's notes right alongside so you can compare. This planner is $39, but as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off when you use the code PODCAST at checkout. Get yours now with the link in the show notes and be the most prepared you've ever been for next season. All right, so the next thing that I want to talk about is actually a skincare product that I have talked about before on the podcast. Now, the reason I want to talk about it again is because I have made some discoveries in the world of serums recently. So, as you know, I have mentioned the CocoKind Ceramide Serum many, many times on this podcast, and it is one that I recommend to everyone. I still love this product. But I will say, I have discovered in the past week or so that it can kind of be a little bit heavy during daytime. Now, I wasn't aware of this for like the past 2 years because I would just use it all the time. And I never really paid attention to how my sunscreen and my face makeup would wear throughout the day. So, this brings me to the Beauty Counter Priming Serum, and that is the product that I want to talk about specifically today and the different way that I am using it. So, last week, I stopped using the Ceramide Serum underneath my moisturizer, and that was because I wanted to try using the Beauty Counter Priming Serum as my one and only serum. Because during wintertime, this is the time of year when most of us, me especially, I should say, I have to layer and layer lots of skincare. I have easily dehydrated skin, I have rosacea, and so for me, lots of layers is very helpful. Now, sometimes though, it can get really, really annoying to layer in all of these different products. And so although I have loved the Beauty Counter Priming Serum ever since it came out and I have bought so many bottles of it, it was kind of frustrating to layer it over all of my other skincare and then have to continue to layer my sunscreen over it. I definitely know that the priming serum, it makes a great film on your skin and it helps to trap the moisture in your skin. I know this, I feel it. The other thing I feel with this serum is that it feels like a drink of water for your skin. And I love that because, you know, I just love that. And that is what my dehydrated skin needs. But again, layering it over all of my other stuff, it just was starting to feel a little bit too heavy. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to experiment and I'm going to try this in the quote unquote wrong order. So Beauty Counter advises you to put the priming serum over your moisturizer and then under your makeup or whatever, like your tinted sunscreen is the way that I use it. Well, I decided to try it as my serum. And you know what? It's perfect. I don't really know how it works so well, but like it has a completely different feeling to it. It almost makes my skin feel more matte, but at the same time, still hydrated and still protected. It's just a very strange, like it still kind of confuses me as to how it works. But again, I have started using the Beauty Counter Priming Serum in the quote unquote wrong way. So what I am doing in the morning right now is I'm cleansing my face, I'm applying my toner, I am then applying that serum and then my moisturizer. Once that all sinks in, I go right into my sunscreen and my skin looks really good. It wears very well and it feels really good too. So I am just very, very happy that I was kind of able to consolidate things. Now, that CoComelon Ceramide Serum, yes, I do still use it. But I just opt to use it only in the evenings because it's almost like it's just not as cosmetically elegant, I guess is the best way to put it. It can feel a little bit heavier on your face. So I am definitely using that after the days that I exfoliate or if I use my face mask. I definitely use it on those days. But gosh. I am just shocked by how that simple change of switching up where I put the priming serum is making such a difference. So, the last thing that I want to talk about is a new diffuser that I got for home and also for work. So, I am a Costco member. I love Costco. And I will basically buy anything if it's at Costco. So one day I had the time to just kind of wander around Costco. I wasn't in a rush. And so I was just looking around. And I came across a diffuser. And so, if you are a kind of crunchy girl, you probably have dabbled with essential oils and diffusers. I definitely have. And I have gone through so many water, diffusers because I don't want to clean them. I'm lazy. And I also don't want to buy distilled water for them because to me, that's just a lot of maintenance, and also it's a big cost too. Because here on our well, that water will ruin a diffuser very quickly. So, when I was walking around Costco, I saw a diffuser that was waterless, and I was very, very curious about this product. And I decided to try it. I looked up the reviews though, really quick of it, and it seemed to work great. Now, this one is by Homedics. It is a Homedics waterless diffuser. The other thing that I like about it is that it's very, very sleek. I'm actually looking at it right now, and it just looks cool, and it's also pretty darn quiet. Now, when I bought it, it did come with some fragrance oils that you put in there. Now, me being the person that I am, I was very, very skeptical of the quality of fragrance that was in there. It said that it was phthalate-free, but I just didn't really trust it. I wanted to use this thing with essential oils. So I did make sure to look that up before I bought it. And yes, you can use regular, real essential oils in the Homedics diffuser. Now, there's a few different settings on the diffuser. It does come with a remote, and you can choose, like, I think fragrance level like 1 through 7 or something. And because I am using pure oils, I am putting it on the lowest setting, and it works very, very well. Great amount of fragrance throughout the space, and it's fantastic. Now, this is a more expensive diffuser, but again, I have gone through so many like $20, $30 water, based diffusers that I have just had to trash because they just stop working and I am too lazy to clean them. So this was a great, problem solver for me. So far, I have now bought 3 of these. I have one in our bedroom, I have one in my living room, and then I have one at work as well. And yeah, that just goes to show you how much I love these things. So I will put a link to it in the show notes. You might be able to get it at Costco still. I'm not sure. I'm just going to put the regular link to it, just because, that'll probably be easiest for you to find. So, again, this Homedics waterless diffuser is wonderful. And basically the way it works is you pull the top off, there's a little reservoir that comes with it. You fill it up with your oil, put it back on, and then choose the setting and the time limit that you want it to be on too. That's another thing that I really like. So like the one in our bedroom, I have kind of some sleepy time essential oils in there. So once I get out of the shower, there might be like, I don't know, an hour or so before bedtime, I'll just turn it on really quick on that lowest setting, set it for an hour, and then our room will be full of lavender and ready to make us sleepy when we go to bed. So yeah, those are my favorites for the month of February. They are all pretty big investments, I guess I will say, just because they are tools. But just remember that when you are thinking about tools, it's not just about that initial cost. It's about all of the time saving that it's going to give you and just make your life so much easier. And also, if you buy a good tool, in theory, it should last you a long time, especially if you maintain it. So just to give a quick recap of what I talked about today, there were two Ryobi battery-powered tools. First was the tire inflator and then the battery-operated tiller. I will put links to those in the show notes. Next was the Braun at-home laser hair remover. It's wonderful. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes to that too. And then I talked about the Beauty Counter Priming Serum. If you would like a sample of that, just let me know. And then last thing was the Homedics Waterless Diffuser. So again, links to everything will be in the show notes. And I am not affiliated with any of these things except for the Beauty Counter Priming Serum. But yeah, everything else I bought with my own money. I really like it. Obviously, I bought three of those Homedics waterless diffusers. And yeah, these tools have definitely been helpful. And I know that they will continue to be helpful because, again, tools are an investment, yes, but they are going to save you so much time and eventually money in the long run. So, next week, I'm going to be talking about my goals for the month of March. And I am excited because we're finally going to be able to do some more things outside. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week, but until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.